court, particularly when they're being accused of something, or they're going to be judged for something. But I'll tell you, there is one court that I'm going to, and one judge that I'm very, very thankful I'm going to appear before him. If Jesus isn't the one who judges you, you are in big trouble. Because the court of Jesus is a court of mercy. And he's extended his mercy to you, just allowing you to be there at his judgment seat. If you appear before Jesus, you don't have to worry about going to hell. You don't have to worry about being cast in a lake of fire. You don't have to worry about being eternally separated from God. You don't have to worry about horrifying punishment eternally and forever. So I'm very thankful that Jesus is going to be my judge. Because if Jesus is not the one who judges you, you are in big, big trouble. Jesus spoke these words, John 12:47-48. He said, "If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not." Well, if anybody hears these words, they don't believe them. There's coming a time when they're going to wish very much that they had. He says, "For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." He came to save the world from the condemnation of sin, which had been placed on everyone in the world. And for those who heard him, he became their judge. And for those who did not, this is where you get into really big trouble. Verse 48. "He that rejecteth me and heareth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." This is the great white throne of judgment. It's the final judgment at the end of the millennial reign. You don't want to be there, because there won't be any mercy there. There'll be real hardcore judgment. And you'll be judged for your sins. Now, this morning, I'm going to talk about the judgment seat of Christ, because this is where all the saved are going to appear. I'm going to appear there, and to be honest with you, I'm not looking forward to it, but I'm very thankful that I am going to appear there, because I know that I'm not going to be cast into an eternal lake of fire. I know that I'm not going to hell for my sins. 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul says, "For we," meaning himself and all those to whom he was writing the epistles, "we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, all the same, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." The judgment seat of Christ is not for sin. Now, a lot of people think that. They say, "He's going to judge you for your sins." No, he took away your sins. He's going to judge you for what you could do and wouldn't do. You could have confessed your sins. You could have been forgiven on a day-to-day basis. And he's going to judge you because you didn't. And you could have come to church and been faithful. And he's going to judge you for whether you did or didn't. The judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment for sin. It is a judgment for your lack of action as a child of God in obeying the commandments of God. If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, "Well, you're going to be judged for sin you didn't confess." Wrong. You're going to be judged for not confessing it. And you're going to be judged for those things you could have done as a child of God. And yet you wouldn't. So, I can do certain things. I can preach and teach the Word of God. I was called to it. I can assemble and worship together in spirit and in truth. I can do certain things, even though I'm a sinner in the flesh. I can confess my sins. and I can try to serve God. And that's what I'm going to be judged for at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not a judgment for sin, because the judgment for sin is what sends you to hell. And those at the great white throne judgment are going to be judged for sin, because their sins have not been taken away by Christ. Who will not appear there? Who won't appear at the judgment seat of Christ? Who will appear at this final judgment seat? It's rather surprising. Most of them that appear there will be deeply religious people that believed in God. Deeply religious. They may have gone to church all their lives. Who will appear there? Those who did not believe. The Lamb of God took away all their sins, plural. When Jesus died on the cross, He took away all my sins. I hadn't even been born yet. And He took away my sins in the future, in the past, in the present, forever. So, I'll appear at the judgment seat of Christ, but I will not appear at this final judgment. The ones who appear there are those who did not believe the Lamb of God took away all their sins. That sin is plural. John 1:29. They didn't believe this. The day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." What did he say? He said, "For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." And when Christ died on the cross, He took away all your sins that would have condemned you to eternal damnation in hell, and made you appear at the last great white throne judgment. He's a Savior. You don't have to add anything to Him. You can't take anything away from what He did. You're going to have a lot of religious people there that believe in God. You're going to have a lot of people that believe Jesus was the Son of God. You're going to have a lot of people that sit on church pews for many years. But they had a problem. They did not believe that Jesus took away all their sins. And they still kept trying to please God in the flesh so they'd be allowed to go into heaven. Who will not appear at the judgment seat of Christ? Those who did not believe they were born sinners in the flesh, spiritually dead toward God. I run into these people all the time. And a lot of them say, "Well, I believe there's a God, and I believe Jesus is His Son, but I'm a pretty good old boy. I think when judgment seat comes up, I stand there, I'll hold up just as good as those people who went to church and all these people that did this and did that. I'm a pretty good old boy. I'm a pretty good old gal." Those who did not believe they were born sinners in the flesh, spiritually dead toward God, they're going to be at the great white throne of judgment. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short the glory of God." There's going to be a lot of people there that say, "Well, I was good to my mother. I honored my father and my mother. I gave to the poor. I worked for the community chest. I had compassion for the poor. I helped the sick. I donated money for mission work. I did this, I did this, I did this, I did that." Surely some of that would be counted for righteousness. Those who did not believe they were born sinners in the flesh, spiritually dead toward God. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." That's what Christ died for. That one sin that one man committed that I inherited. You ever stop to think about Adam? You know, James said, if you keep the whole law, every bit of it, every jot and tittle, and yet you fail in one point, failing at all. Same thing as not keeping any of them. What he said. You know, Adam only made one slip, didn't he? That's all it took. That's all it took. He passed that nature on to us. When Christ went to the cross, He died for what Adam passed on to us, and we can be set free in Christ the moment we accept Him as the sacrifice for what we are. Sinners, born sinners. Romans 5:12. "Wherefore, as by one man sinners entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." I tell you who else will not be at the judgment seat of Christ. Those who did not believe that only their belief in Christ could remove them eternally from God's condemnation for sin, pass them from spiritual death to spiritual life. They believed something else could. It may have been their works. It may have been their fifth baptism. It may have been a multiplicity of things. It may have been them keeping the Sabbath and going to church on Saturday instead of Sunday. It may have been a multiplicity of things. But I'll tell you who won't be at the judgment seat of Christ. Those who did not believe that only their belief in Christ could remove them eternally from God's condemnation for sin and pass them from spiritual death to spiritual life. Seems pretty hard, doesn't it? It's not hard. It's mercy. And it boils down to this. Jesus did it all. You better receive him. You better trust him. And you better not trust your own righteousness or your own lack of sinfulness to get you to heaven. Because you'll never, never, never make it. John 5:24. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I tell you who's going to be at the, not going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. I tell you who won't be there. Somebody that didn't believe the only reason they were passed from spiritual death unto eternal life, and the only reason they're not coming into condemnation, is because they believe that God sent his Son to give everlasting life. And his Son sacrificed himself so he could give it. You do not add anything to Jesus. You do not take away anything from Jesus. Because he's a Savior. And if you have to add something to a Savior or take away something, he is not a Savior. And a lot of people are going to hell. Because they're trying to help God. And they're trying to help him as a sinner in the flesh. Actually believing they can do something to justify themselves before God. I tell you who else won't be there at Christ's judgment seat. Those who believe they had some righteousness of their own. They could add to what Christ gave them. They thought they were righteous. They brought fish to people and they caught. They were kind to little children. They worked and as volunteers, different service functions and organizations. They did a multiplicity of things that the world looks upon as good. As it is written, Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. People that think they're righteous are going to end up at the great white throne of judgment. They're going straight to hell. Unless they understand that the only righteousness they have was imputed, given to them, accounted to them by Jesus Christ. Seem hard, cruel? Does it bother you? Some of your relatives may be in that condition. Seem hard to you? This goes beyond blood. This goes beyond kinship. This goes to the heart of the matter. Do you see the fantastic mercy, the fantastic forgiveness, compassion, and love that is manifested by God? And that when you come to his Son and trust him completely to save you eternally. He does. And nothing else is required. You say, well, you have to repent of your sins. Believe me, when you acknowledge you're a sinner and you have no righteousness and you come to Jesus trusting him to save you from your sins and give you his righteousness, that is the pure, unadulterated act of repentance, where you show your absolute helplessness before God. Those who believe they had some righteousness of their own, they could add to what Christ gave them. They will not appear at Christ's judgment seat. They will appear at the final judgment and be cast into a lake of fire. And don't blame God for this. They, just like you, whether they be flesh and blood relatives, the Holy Spirit of God tries to get them to come to Christ, and this goes beyond flesh and blood. You got your body from your father and mother, but you got your soul from God, and so did your relatives. And they're going to have to make their own choice and their own decision, no matter how much you love them. And it's fair and it's just, because this is based on pure grace and compassion. Therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came on all men to condemnation. Yes, I inherited Adam's nature. Yes, that one slip he made separated him from God and the righteousness of God. But God made a way for all of us to be saved. He passed us from death unto life, said we would never come into condemnation if we would put our faith in the one who he sent to be the total sacrifice and propitiation for our sins. Therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one. Jesus lived more than 30 years, never once sinned, never once disobeyed God, never once had a bad thought, never once broke any standard of God's righteousness. And so by the righteousness of one, the free gift, it's an unmerited gift, it's unwarranted, but it's given by God, came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. I've heard people say, it just doesn't seem fair that God would hold me accountable for Adam's sin. He does not. Because he made a way, a simple childlike way, for you to be reconciled forever to him. So by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. I was made unrighteous by the Adamic nature of Adam, but I was made righteous by the blood and body of Christ. I tell you, who else won't be there in Christ's judgment seat? And there'll be a lot of them. Only God knows how many people on this earth and how many different churches believe that you have to be baptized to be saved. An act of a human being that walks up some steps, walks out in the water, submits to baptism, and by their act of obedience and walking in and submitting to baptism, supposedly God saves them. That's an absolute fabrication, has no truth in it whatsoever. Salvation is totally by grace. It's not something you can physically and mechanically do. It's not anything that has anything to do with physical water. I tell you who won't be at Christ's judgment seat. Those who believe their baptism in water needed to be added to his finished work on the cross. One of the greatest men who ever lived, preachers in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 1:17 and 18 makes that abundantly clear. For Christ sent me not to baptize. He would never have made that statement if baptism had anything to do with the actual performance of the new birth, the spiritual workmanship of God that saved and cleansed your soul when you came to Christ. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Well, he's going to tell you what the gospel is. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You try and tell someone that believes that you have to be baptized to be saved, and they'll tell you you're a fool. They'll tell you you're an absolute, complete fool. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It's the preaching of the cross that saves a man. It's the preaching of the cross that leads a man to understand there was only one, alone, a single, solitary man, the second Adam, the last Adam, hanging on that cross and dying for the sin of the first Adam, which we all inherited, and in so doing, he died for all of our sins on that cross. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. It was over. He had completed the work. It is blasphemy to add anything to that finished work. It is ungodly to believe there is anything we can add to it or take away from it. Jesus did it all. That's the joy of salvation. That's the good news. That's what gospel means. Jesus did it all. If he hadn't done it all, what kind of news would that be? Would that be good news? How many times do you have to go to church? How many times do you have to take the Lord's Supper? How many sins are you allowed? How faithful do you have to be? You say, well, I'll know that at the judgment seat. You surely will. Because at the judgment seat where you're going to appear, it's going to be the final judgment. And you're going to discover that you had to do it absolutely perfect without error. And the only man who ever did that was Jesus. And that's why he alone has to be your Savior. And you cannot trust in yourself or anything else. It's been a long time since the cross, but there are two judgments coming up. I thank God I'll be at the judgment seat of Christ. I thank God I won't go to hell. I'll tell you who won't be there at Christ's judgment seat, who will be at the final judgment seat. Those who believe that more than Christ's crucifixion and their belief in it as the total price for their sins was needed to save them. Paul made this statement to the church at Corinth. And he eliminated everything, anything that had to do with salvation except Jesus. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you, nothing else, save Jesus Christ and him crucified." That's it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just accept that wounded, bleeding body, that torn flesh, that precious blood. Accept that he took your sins and his own body on that tree personally, and that he shed his own blood personally for you on that cross. Receive that as the total price for your sins and believe that God resurrected him and trust him. Why did God do that? Look at verse 5. 1 Corinthians 2:5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's so simple a child can understand. Some churches say, yes, Jesus died on the cross, but you've got to be baptized. You've got to come to church. You've got to take the Lord's Supper every week. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. And they have complicated it. The wisdom of men. God said Jesus did it all. And Jesus said he did it all. I'll tell you who else will not be at Christ's judgment seat. They'll be at the final judgment seat. Those who do not believe he took all their sins in his own body on the tree. All of them. 1 Peter 2, 24-25. Who his own self bare our sins. That's plural. Our sins. When you were born, Christ was crucified a long time ago. All your sins were future. When Peter wrote this, Peter was still very much alive. Christ had already been crucified. And he took all of Peter's sins, past, present, and future. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, the cross. Why did he do it? That we, being dead to sin, we were spiritually dead. We were born spiritually dead. Spiritually separated from God. What does that tell you? If you're spiritually dead, there's nothing you can do to help God. It's a physical act to go into the baptistry. It's a physical act to perform good works. And unless Christ dwells in you, none of those works are accepted. He died and took our sins because we were dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Isaiah 53:6 wrote about it more than 700 years before it happened. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. One of the most important principles in the Bible is very often neglected. Men like to complicate what God did. They like to add their own flavor to it, something that will give their flesh pleasure in having done it. I want you to notice what Jesus said. Jesus began way back here in John 12, 47, 48. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Was there a specific word that he spoke? Yeah. This is John 12, 48. Let's look at John 12, 50. I'll tell you who won't be at the judgment seat of Christ, but who'll be at the final judgment. Those who rejected the commandment God gave him to give to all men who would receive it. Here's the only reason I'm going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. John 12, 50. I just read John 12, 48. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. That's what Christ brought. That's what receiving Christ means. It's eternal life that he gives. It's the only kind he has to give. Wherefore I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. All right? What's this commandment that makes me so certain I'm going to be at the judgment seat of Christ and that I'm not going to hell? And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said to me, so I speak. Matthew 11, 28. Here's what Jesus spoke. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Laboring under a heavy laden of guilt for sin. Laboring under a heavy laden load of sin because they realize that they're sinful. Here's the commandment. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. You say, there's got to be more to it than that. No, there isn't. I was laboring under a heavy burden of guilt and sin. I was sorry I was a sinner. I repented of it. I could not save myself. So I came to Jesus Christ. You know what happened? All you that labor and are heavy laden, he took away that burden of guilt and sin, which I inherited from Adam. And I will give you rest. I'm going to the judgment seat of Christ. I expect to get my knocks there. I expect to get rebuked for some things in my life that I didn't change or that I was just too stubborn or willful to change. But I'm not going to hell because he took all my sins in his body on the tree. And he died for the sin I inherited, Adam's sin. And I have complete rest. I'm going to heaven. Why will all those people that are deeply religious at the final judgment be cast into a lake of fire? Right here. John 5, 40. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. You don't come to baptism to get saved. You don't come to church to get saved. You don't come to works to get saved. You come to a person. The only person who ever did enough to save you from what you are. And you come to him acknowledging that you're helplessly, hopelessly, sinful, and lost. And you trust him to save you. And he does. I'm so thankful that God made it that way. The song that he sang, the special, Amazing Grace, it really is amazing. It's too good to be true. But it is true. And right here this morning, there's nothing stopping you from being saved. Accept your acknowledgement that you are a sinful human being and you're helplessly lost and you need a Savior. I thank God that you don't have to come to Jesus through me. You don't have to come to Jesus through anyone except by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. If he's convicting you this morning, you need to be saved. There's only one way to be saved. Whatever it is that you have trusted in or been trusting in, throw it out the window. And put all your faith in Jesus Christ by calling on Him to save you from what you are. A born sinner who needs a Savior. Right where you're sitting, you can be saved. And I hope in this silent moment of prayer, you'll think about where you're going to appear. Either at Christ's judgment seat or the final judgment seat. And you won't reject His words. And you'll put your faith in Him, your trust in Him, by asking Him to save you, because you cannot save yourself. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful you sent your Son. And I'm so thankful that you made Him the total price for all of our sins. I thank you for smiting Him on the cross, for watching Him suffer and bleed and die for our sins. I thank you for the agony He suffered, for the price He paid for sin. Heavenly Father, I know He's alive and with you, and all power in heaven and earth is given unto Him. And I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, if someone has asked Him for salvation, by your Spirit they'll have that assurance that He has kept His promise. I pray, Heavenly Father, you bless this invitation for whatever purpose you might desire. If there are those who are saved and need to be baptized, I pray for their sake they'll come. There are those, Lord, who need to be more committed in service. I pray they'll come. And I ask all these things in Jesus' precious name and for His sake. Amen.